Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A Department of Justice Inspector General's report out just this afternoon finds that former FBI Director James Comey was, quote, insubordinate in his handling of the investigation of Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential election. The report also concludes that Comey deviated clearly and dramatically from FBI and DOJ norms. But the report also finds no evidence of political bias in the FBI's handling of the case when Comey recommended that the DOJ not bring charges against Clinton in July of 2016. Quote, we found no evidence that the conclusions by department prosecutors were affected by bias or other improper considerations, the inspector general says. Now, that's just the headline from the 500-page report, again, out just this afternoon. It also sharply rebukes the conduct of FBI officials who exchanged texts criticizing then-candidate Donald Trump. In previously unreleased text messages, Lisa Page, an FBI lawyer, wrote to investigator Peter Strzok, quote, Trump's not ever going to get elected, right? Strzok responds, no, he won't. We'll stop it, end quote. Well, let's get some analysis on this major development, and we'll turn now to Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
And also, for full disclosure, Judge Gertner, I should say that you were an unpaid policy advisor to the Clinton campaign in the 2016 election?
Right, on domestic policy issues, right.
Okay, all right. Joining us now also is Matthew Hyman. He's a visiting fellow at George Mason's National Security Institute, a former lawyer for the Department of Justice as well. Matthew Hyman, welcome to you.
Pleasure to be with you.
Matthew, let me just start with you. I mean, what's your first takeaway from the sharp rebuke that the Inspector General has given to James Comey here?
Well, I think it's obviously disappointing from the perspective of the FBI because it appears that at these critical moments, both on July 5th, when Comey does the public statement talking about the decision not to proceed with prosecution of Clinton, as well as the October 28th letter when they reopen the investigation that goes to Congress, it appears that Director Comey substituted his own judgment, his own views on what's best for the institution of the FBI, you know, over the practice and protocol of the Department of Justice. And it's disappointing. There's no doubt these people were dealing with very tough issues. But as you read the report, and to be fair, I have read parts of it in the last hour and 15 minutes, it seems that leadership at both Justice and FBI at these critical moments just fell down. They did not exercise their best judgment. They made decisions that, in hindsight, I think most of us would say was not the right decision. So I have no reason to quibble with the IG's finding that there was no real political bias, but it certainly is disappointing that at this level of leadership, you didn't see better decision-making and, frankly, better coordination.
Well, so Judge Gertner, let me ask you about that, because to Matthew Hyman's point about the repeated falling down of leadership here at the FBI, I mean, yes, so the DOJ Inspector General says that doesn't necessarily mean indication of political bias, but there are going to be millions of Americans out there who find that very hard to believe.
Well, I think, again, I also read it quickly. What they say is that Comey and senior FBI people came to the conclusion that they came to that there was not a criminal intent in Clinton's putting the emails on a private server. There was no criminal intent. It was not that she intended to surface classified information or anything like that. Said that they reached that conclusion relatively early on in the investigation, and it was supported by other senior staff. And I think that what they're saying is that at least the Inspector General says that decision was grounded in the facts of the case. Comey then, with respect to the press release, with respect to going off on his own about what he told the American people, was basically acting inconsistent with department regulations. But they tried to separate the conclusion from the way he handled it.
Okay, well, so the way the news cycle is in this day and age, James Comey just in the past hour published an opinion piece in the New York Times And the headline of that is, James Comey, this report says I was wrong, but that's good for the FBI. And in it, he writes, this just came out, he says, the inspector general's team concludes I should have adhered to established norms, which they see as mandating both deference to the attorney general on the public announcement and silence about an investigation so close to the election. He goes on to say that he is glad this the inspector general has done its work and that it shows the strength of the institutional norms at the Department of Justice. But Matthew Hyman, I mean, it's hard to walk away from this report thinking that James Comey, I don't necessarily want to say he saw himself as above the law, but saw himself as some sort of super authority on how these super high profile, very delicate investigations should be handled, such that he actually did defy DOJ norms. Isn't that troubling?
It's very troubling. And that's the problem with the way Comey approached these issues. You have a sense that he had his own personal view of what was right. There's a certain righteousness about his behavior through these episodes where it seemed that he was quite willing to defy all the norms. And that's deeply troubling, particularly when you're talking about the director of the FBI. To be fair to Comey, I think he was in a horrific situation given the profile of the investigation, the timing around the election, and in particular, the fact that when he was looking to the senior folks at Justice, in particular Attorney General Loretta Lynch, she had her own set of problems because mm-hmm. she had a long conversation with former President Clinton on the tarmac about a week or two before Comey was going to make his announcement. He felt like she wasn't a safe harbor he could go to for guidance and counsel. And Lynch made it more difficult because she probably should have recused herself, and she did this sort of halfway, well, I'll follow the recommendation of the career attorneys at DOJ in terms of whether we charge Clinton or not. So it was a mess all the way around. Comey fell down, Lynch fell down, and I think the American people have a right to be disappointed in the way senior leadership at DOJ and FBI acted, and I think they have a right to demand better going forward.
Judge Gertner, your thoughts?
I agree with him, actually. I mean, I think that the, yes, it was a high-profile investigation. That's the moment when you actually follow the rules. That's not the time when you go rogue, essentially. So, I mean, I think that this, from what I have read, is a thoughtful piece that leaves the fruits of the investigation standing all the while criticizing the way Comey handled the public face of the investigation. And I think everyone who was involved is chastened in some way. I agree that it's a terribly important lesson going forward.
Well, I want to bring in another voice into this conversation. Carmen Ortiz, she's the former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts, and she's currently counsel at the Boston law firm Anderson Krieger. Carmen Ortiz, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Magda. Good to be here.
It's good to have you. I mean, you were a former U.S. attorney, worked obviously closely within the DOJ. What's your conclusion or reaction to the Inspector General's report?
Well, I think that, there are many parts of it that are troubling, but yet, quite frankly, not surprising to some extent based on all of the leaks and the information that has been coming out. And certainly living through it that summer, I have been with the department for 20 years. And Jim Comey, before he was director, had been a federal prosecutor, not only as U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, but also having been deputy attorney general previously. He was very familiar with the protocol and the practices of the department. He was in a horrible situation. But in those situations, you have to think about there's a reason why those protocols and policies exist. And there were quite a number of folks that he had dealt with throughout his entire career. Yes, the tarmac situation between mm-hmm. My former Attorney General Loretta Lynch made it difficult when she had that slight meeting and her recusal, sort of it was a semi-recusal, may have cast doubt to some extent as to who was left to talk to. But Sally Yates was a very, very experienced career federal prosecutor and the Deputy Attorney General. There are a significant number of leaders that he could have gone to, but I think this was a situation that he felt, and I think maybe it was Matthew who alluded to this, that I think he felt he knew best.
Yeah.
He had the best
right.
knowledge. He had the best judgment. And unfortunately, that took the better of him.
Carmen Ortiz, can I just jump in here for a second? Because,
sure.
you know, obviously a lot of this, the Inspector General's report itself focuses on the actions of James Comey. But, you know, in hearing you say that it's troubling but not necessarily surprising, I have to ask you, I mean, if we looked beneath Comey, are there deeper challenges at the DOJ here that deserve further attention?
Well, I think this was a very unique and unusual situation. So let's start with that. And when I say that it's not surprising, I mean the conclusions in the report. Quite frankly, the steps that the FBI director took at that time frame were incredibly surprising. I don't think you ever see the FBI really come out, especially on such a high-profile matter.
You don't, right.
Everyone knew that the investigation was ongoing, but you do not announce how that investigation is proceeding and conclusions that the director made without consulting and without really the input of the Department of Justice at that time. And he alone took that upon himself. So that piece of it was surprising.
I mean, Comey basically said that when he gave that press conference in 2016. He said, this is really unusual, but I believe that we need greater than normal transparency right now. He virtually acknowledged that he was stepping aside from DOJ norms.
Well, but let's face it, if you really needed full transparency, there was another serious investigation, especially impacting the election, involving Trump campaign operatives and whether or not there had been any kind of Russia interference at that juncture or Russian collusion at that or contacts, at least at the initiation of that. And that was completely silent. And while there have been certain allegations that what Comey did really was, to advance the Clinton campaign, quite frankly, the way that it played out, and especially with the letter to Congress and the way that the decisions were made, or more importantly, publicized at a time so closely to the election, truly inured to the detriment of Hillary Clinton and yet to the benefit of the president. And the one good thing we can say is that one of the good conclusions is that there was no political bias that led to, Comey's the way that he handled the investigation and certainly the decision that he made. And more importantly, when career prosecutors shortly later make the decision and also publicize that there is no basis to go forward and no criminal charges to be brought,
mm-hmm.
that decision by the career prosecutors was also based on the facts and the law and the practices of the department.
Carmen Ortiz, let me just jump in here for a second, because you've brought me back to these text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page here, because, I mean, again, just to read them, this is the first time we've seen these particular text messages. We've had others from them leaked before in previous months, but this DOJ Inspector General report says that Lisa Page had texted Strzok saying, Trump's not going to get elected, is he? And Strzok says, no, he won't, we'll stop it. And now I'm reading directly from the Inspector General's report. It's not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more seriously implies a willingness to take official action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral prospects. This is antithetical to the core values of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Matthew Hyman, do you have a thought about that?
Yeah, I do. I find their text messages and that attitudinal approach repellent. As a former DOJ attorney, we were all taught you kind of check your biases at the door, and if you can't do that, you shouldn't come through the door. And so what I think that does is it casts a pall over all of this, and that is that there's somehow hijinks within the walls of the FBI, that it's a partisan hit squad, and that's what gives, critics of the FBI and those that would say that the FBI was out to get Trump. And there's no better way to add fuel to that fire than to have texts from actual FBI folks directly involved in these investigations at a fairly senior level suggesting that very thing. And so while it's good that that bias probably did not implicate any of the investigations based on the IG report, it's unfortunate that's there, because it's very hard to get away from charges of bias when you've got the neutral investigators clearly demonstrating one.
Right. And Judge Gertner, let me turn back to you, because just to remind people, Peter Strzok was also investigating the Russia,
right.
On the Russia case as well, until he was removed by Robert Mueller in the summer, last summer, I believe.
Right.
So, I mean, is this going to have any... Is this going to have any implication on the Mueller investigation?
Well, it certainly can, in the sense, in two respects. One is, to the extent that it suggests criticism of Comey, it arguably legitimizes Comey's firing. Now, of course, it's one thing to legitimize that in the abstract. Of course, the president said that was not the ground for why he fired Comey.
He said it was the Russia thing.
It was the Russia thing. So, but, you know, it muddies the waters to some degree, even though that's not what the president said he did. And then, you know, with respect to the electoral, the investigation of hacking into the election, again, yes, it's troubling. There's no question about it. And it shouldn't have happened. And it certainly, it sounds a little bit like puffery for him to say, we'll make sure that it doesn't. We'll make sure that Trump doesn't get elected, because Comey and the FBI did precisely the opposite. By disclosing the Hillary investigation and not disclosing the hacking, they worked in exactly the opposite direction.
As so, Carmen Ortiz was saying.
Right. So what's interesting is I think what's interesting about this, and it's not easy to do, is to separate out the legitimacy of the decisions that were made and say, you know, notably the decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton, not to find criminal intent, from the ways in which those decisions were announced. And that's what the IG does, and I think that that's right. Mm. And it's the same thing with that then suggests that you don't cast doubt on the legitimacy of the Russia investigation, not at least because of these players and these activities.
Carmen Ortiz, your thought.
There's no question that it will give a little bit of you know, ammunition to those that want to criticize, and it was it really kind of cast a cloud and an impact on the FBI and the impartiality of the investigation. But I think you need to be mindful that the minute that this information came out and became aware of the Mueller investigation, they immediately removed that agent from the investigation. And at the end of the day, with respect to the long results and the end results in that investigation, they're going to fall on what the if more charges come out, it's really going to be based on the facts, the evidence, and evidence that's corroborated by other evidence. Mm-hmm. So I think that at the end of the day, it will survive this, but there's no question that many will use a broad brush to paint the entire FBI with really the mistakes of a very, very few.
Yeah.
Don't remember, it's a, you know, the FBI is a,
huge.
It's more than 35,000 people work there with thousands and thousands of agents. And here, this is a very small handful. And you have to remind folks that those that are now, continuing in the investigation are not part and parcel of this type of thinking.
That's a good
nor
point.
Should they be in
right.
any way whatsoever. It should be completely impartial and unbiased as you move forward and you analyze facts and evidence and in comparison to the law.
You know, I am mindful here that I'm speaking with three people who've spent their professional careers in the law, and yet, so it's completely understandable with your experience and expertise that you're looking at this DOJ Inspector General report through the eyes of legal scholars, all three of you. But I'm putting myself in the shoes of the average American out there right now. And again, maybe in the coming days and weeks, things may settle down, but I don't think they will. I'm a little concerned that one of the big takeaways to the average American, especially depending on what side of the aisle you fall on, is that there's a certain deep political problem in the DOJ. I completely understand. The Inspector General says, no, there is not. But nevertheless, it feels like there's something for everyone in this 500-page report. I mean, Matthew Hyman, is there a concern that, you know, given the exhaustiveness of what the Inspector General has found, that it could undermine the trust that people have in the Department of Justice?
Well, I think it confirms a lot of the mistrust that people do have with the Department of Justice and the FBI, because a lot of what we've got to remember, the Inspector General's report wasn't really focused on whether Hillary Clinton should have been charged or not. It was focused on how things were done, not what was done, but how
right.
it was done. And at every step of the way, whether you're talking about the Attorney General Lynch, you're talking about Comey, you're talking about these mid-level agents, you're talking about Deputy FBI Director McCabe, how they did their work was not living up to the standard of what is expected of those professionals. And I completely agree with what was just said about the thousands of men and women that work with honor and diligence at DOJ and FBI. But these are the kinds of things that cast a pall over all of that good work. And I think it's really up to people like Director Wray and Attorney General Sessions and Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein, others, to really give careful thought to this report about what kind of reforms should be implemented. What do they need to do to make sure that how people perform their work at that building or those buildings is just as carefully thought through as what they do.
Right. We've just got a minute left to go here. And so Judge Gertner and Carmen Ortiz, I want to get both of you your last thought.
Well, the other thing is that the big picture issue here is that the Inspector General worked. The big picture issue here is that there was an entity ostensibly within the Department of Justice, much like an internal affairs division of a police department, that policed itself. And that's terribly, terribly important and says something about the democracy. The other thing, it is also arguably that it gives legitimacy to the special counsel approach as a way of having someone outside of politics specially charged with investigating.
Mm. Carmen Ortiz, your last thought?
My last thought is that I agree with Matthew in terms of that this the OIG, you know, that process works, but right now, the DOJ as well as the FBI have a lot of work to do. And in the report, there are recommendations as to, you know, future kinds of trainings and awareness that and remindings, really, that employees of both of those institutions need to be aware of. You know, I've always viewed the Department of Justice, and it still is. It's an engine of change and an engine towards justice. And right now, it has a lot to sort of do to negate what you say, you know, the person out on the street may be thinking right now about the department. And that's disheartening to someone who has dedicated a lot of her life to that department. And hopefully, I think that it will be able to do that.
Well, Carmen Ortiz is former U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. She's now counsel at the Boston law firm Anderson and Anderson Krieger. Thank you so much, Carmen. It's good to have you back on the show.
Likewise.
And Matthew Hyman, visiting fellow at George Mason's National Security Institute and former DOJ lawyer as well. It was great to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And Nancy Gertner, retired federal judge and WBUR legal analyst. Always a pleasure, Judge Gertner.
Good to be here, too.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.